High School Roundtable. Our games this week will include Selins Grove at Shamokin Saturday at 1. Tomorrow night, Danville at Lewisburg and Mount Carmel at Shikellamy. So let's get to it now with Steve Briggs. Saturday at 1, Selins Grove at Shamokin. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Always great. Great to hear you. Hear your voice.
Great to hear your voice as well. All right, so let's get to the offense. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when you were on. Selins Grove over the years has had just some fun, dynamic offenses, but obviously personnel changes, thus you have to change your style a bit. What are you seeing in the first couple of weeks in terms of execution by that offense? Is this more of a personnel issue or is it an execution issue?
I think it's a little of both, Steve. They're awfully young on that side of the football, but you've heard it numerous times, especially from coaches, you know, that they're no longer freshmen or sophomores after they get out there a few times. And I think that's kind of what's hurting them. The stat I got this morning when Zach Schauer sent this week's game notes was kind of says it all. They're Seals are 1-for-22 in third down conversions, which is I didn't realize it was that low. A little bit misleading, simply because they've been caught both weeks with procedure penalties. Seems like at the worst time, that as well as some key fumble turnovers, bad snaps. You know, those are things that happen early in the season and hopefully end quickly, but it's been hurting them. I think the Seals are a bit snake bit, so to speak. Played two very good football teams. Pottsville 12-0 last week, ahead 7-6 in the fourth, late in the fourth. I think they realize that the critical mistakes that are happening at key times is killing them, and that's what it is.
Right, and you and I both know it's that you're trying to get away from that epidemic of key mistakes, key times. You mentioned the 1-for-22 on third down. Not all third downs are created equally. A stat I do keep on my chart, and it's one I meticulously try to go through. What do you do on third down and less than 4? What do you do on third down and 5+, both offensively and defensively? Are they being faced with more third and longs as opposed to third and shorts?
Exactly, Steve. What's happened, kind of what the point I made earlier, you know, they get 5 or 6 yards on a first or second down play, and it's second and short or third and short. And that very next play, they get a procedure penalty or a motion penalty or, like I said, bad snap, something that stopped them. Now you're looking up at, you know, the chains at 3rd and 11. You know, you know this as well. I knew it for years as a coach. When it's 2nd and 1 and 3rd and an inch, boy, you get a lot of guys talking to you, and everybody's chirping in your ear, telling you what to do and giving you suggestions. Boy, when it's 3rd and 15...
very quiet.
It's like you have the plague. Nobody's around you. And I think that's what's happening. You know, that's what's happening. And these guys are well coached. The Seals are well coached. You can tell that. Pat and I spoke at length last week about this. You know, with the biggest, a good, well coached team makes that adjustment from week 1 to week 2. And I think the Seals did incredibly well there. They were very well prepared. They opened the offense up a little bit. Quarterback got going. Defensively, they're playing lights out, Steve. Probably as good as anybody in this whole area defensively. And that's what kind of stings. They're sitting here looking that they're 0-2, and the Seals very well could be 2-0 against two very good programs. So I think they just got to take it one step at a time. And you know, whenever things don't go well, work fundamentals first, and I know they do that. So, that's kind of how the first 2 weeks went.
Well, in fact, I was going to ask you finally about the defense, because obviously they've been doing a heck of a job there. How well does this team run to the ball?
Oh, boy. You've probably seen them in some film, Steve. They're getting 9-10 hats to the ball wherever it goes. I really, really like Brandon Heil. I think he's one of the best football players in the area. Teague Hoover at safety. These kids are playmakers, and they're everywhere. And they reloaded. They really did. I think they're better this year defensively than last year. And they'll be tested this week. Shamokin's a power, tough coal region team, which, you know, I think teams tried to throw on Selams Grove unsuccessfully, and, you know, now they're running the football, or at least attempting it. So good test this week, but this the strength of this football team is the defense, you know, the coaches know that. I just got to get a little bit more mature, as we say, and experienced on offense.
Steve, looking forward to it Saturday at 1. Thank you so much for your time and your insight.
You betcha. Thanks a bunch, Steve.
Steve Briggs. We transition now to Greg Wetzel. He of the 4 handicap. Lewisburg will be hosting Danville tomorrow night. Greg would love to talk about his handicap, but we're going to have to talk football, Greg.
That's okay. My handicap is rising.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm glad to talk football.
That's not good. It's like the guy that it's like the guy that pitches in kid pitch in Little League, and I said, you know, your goal is not to have the lowest ERA. All right, so Greg, what is the strength of this Lewisburg football team? Let's go with the positive first.
Okay, the strength of the football team are their skill position players, and last week against Montoursville, the score was 41-7, but it could have been very easily 10-0 Lewisburg. They drove right down the field, had a fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, ran a quarterback sneak, and all the quarterback had to do was put the ball across the goal line, and he turned sideways. And the ball never got across, and it was literally within 2 inches of the goal line. They stopped Montoursville. They force a punt. They get the ball back, drive right down the field to the 5 yard line. They're stopped. They try a field goal, and they miss the field goal. So within the first 6 minutes of the game, Lewisburg had 100 yards of offense and no points to show for it. So the skill position players are really what they're made of this year. And as the line develops, those skill position players will become more effective.
All right. So sometimes a team will get in its own way.
Yeah.
Does Lewisburg at times get in its own way, and is it correctable?
Yes. For instance, the first time they were down at the goal line when they quarterback did the quarterback sneak on fourth one, they had first and goal on the 5. Quarterback sack.
Yep.
Puts them back. They connect on about a 16-yard pass on third down, makes it 4th and 1. So, yes, that's correctable. Field goal kicking, yeah, that's correctable. More practice. It's his first year kicking. He made a field goal in the first game, and he missed that. He has a strong leg. It's not a question of distance. It's just a question of, I think, getting used to the situation, calming himself down, going in and kicking a field goal. The other thing, they scored a turnover. Now, that's a physical mistake, but again, those are things that can be corrected, learning to hold on to the football. Montoursville had a 10-yard drive for a touchdown. And another one was the second half kickoff was returned for a touchdown. The coach was trying to rest a couple players, put some freshmen in there. They didn't stay in their lanes. And he broke it for a 92-yard touchdown return. So all those things are correctable with a little more playing time and just teaching a little more technique to the kids.
What will be important in the matchup with Danville?
Well, not letting Danville get ahead of them by so much so quickly. Danville's averaging over 50 points a game right now in their first two games. The last game they scored 61 points, and they had, I think it was 49 or 48 at halftime. So they have a quick strike offense. They run the spread. They move the ball around. They have talented athletes, good offense and defensive line. So that's going to be the key to Lewisburg to try to keep this game close.
Greg, always a pleasure. The handicap will steady.
I went, for the first time this year, I went to the driving range last night to just hit a few golf balls. I think I corrected some things.
There you
Hopefully.
Go. See, and again, it's all about good practice sets up good games.
That's exactly right.
Thanks, Greg. It's always fun, man.
It is great to talk to you, Steve, and have fun again this Saturday.
Thanks. I appreciate that. All right, let's bring in the Chief now. Shikellamy is at home. Tough one, Mount Carmel coming up. Dave, I asked the suit. I said, what's the strength of the team? And he said the play-by-play guy. Wasn't the answer I was looking for, Dave. So
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
It's sad, and we all know it. But, Dave, what in your perception and in watching them, what's the strength that Shikellamy can build around moving forward?
Well, they got the running game together in the second half. Granted, it was 35-0 at halftime, but they ended up out-rushing Loyal Sock. And I thought Semko and Wolf did a nice job. The line blocked well. And something we saw, Caden Huffman, the tight end, big tight end, got good hands. And I think they got some strength there. It was one of those nights that I'm sure the coaches as well as the players were disappointed in the overall performance. I don't think they expected to have Loyal Sock run up a 35-0 score at halftime. But I'll tell you, Loyal Sock, that's one of the best football teams I've seen all around. Great quarterback, great receivers, and a terrific running back. Plus, he got a pretty solid defense. So, I think the potential is there, and I think that might be their strength. That they know what they can do, and it's just a matter of, let's perform out on the field on Friday nights.
Dave, how big a challenge in the trenches will Mount Carmel be? Normally, this is one of those tough, hard-nosed, red tornado. I mean, what about trench warfare on this one?
I just got done watching Mount Carmel and Hughesville, and they've got a really solid offensive line, and a typical Mount Carmel offense where they try to overload one side, and they just basically try to run sweep at you, and they run the run option very well. So it's going to be difficult for them. Mount Carmel's got some nice size, both offensive and defensive linemen and their athletes. So the Braves are going to have to be on the top of their game. A matter of not watching in the backfield, but reading how you're being blocked. And I think one of the things that they have to do this week is they've got to keep those linemen off of our linebackers.
Yeah.
Because they have to do that. Because Loyal Sock not only blocked our line, but they got our linebackers too. And let those guys make the tackles. Be the sacrificial lamb in the trenches. On offense, I watch... I always hate to see when a play is done, the back is on the ground and there's a couple of offensive linemen standing around.
Yeah,
that means they either didn't block somebody or they didn't find somebody to block. And a lot of times it's not that they didn't want to, but sometimes it's just a matter of remembering your rules and staying under control. So the line's going to have to definitely know who to block, because when they get there, it's going to be a challenge for them to block that Mount Carmel defense.
So let's get finally to the psychology of this. What would it mean to Shikellamy to get to the lead in this game?
Well, I think it would be huge. They haven't had the lead yet in the two games beforehand, and I don't know if I think they've only known how to play from being behind, and I think it would. First of all, it's going to definitely build up their confidence. In the Hughesville game, Mount Carmel went right down the field and scored, and then Hughesville ran the ensuing kickoff back for a touchdown, and it was amazing what it did to the Hughesville defense after the special team scored right away. And now it's being behind by 7, it was tied, and they just looked like they had a little bit more Pep the second time around. And they played them pretty even for the first half. But again, Mount Carmel, I think, wore them down. For the Braves, I think it would be huge if they could get up by a touchdown. I really do.
Yeah. Agreed. Dave, always a pleasure. Your broadcasts sound great on Friday night. Really enjoy them because I always get a chance to hear some of it, and it's terrific as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. All right.
The Chief, Dave Ritchie.